This is the Amateur Fanboy Podcast with your hosts, Chase Aguirre and Mike Artaza.
All right, guys, welcome to the Amateur Fanboy Podcast interview portion. Today, our guest is RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys, also the host of Ocho Live. RJ, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Good to be with you.
Glad for you to be here. Words I was looking for. You know what? We'll start with Dak. Let's start with Dak. So it just came out, multiple reports. Jane Slater, I think, was the first one that reported it, said he declined his $30 million a year offer and is asking for $40 million a year. And then I saw, I think it was Pro Football Talk, say something that it's all false. And I don't know what to believe, but I mean, we all know he's going to be asking for more than $30 million. So my question to you is, and everybody, you know, there's guys, you know, like Patrick and Mike and normal rational people that are like, you know what, this is all a dance, you know, it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. But what are what's your take on everything and how the talks are going so far?
Well, you know, I remember when I bought a car for the first time, it's the worst thing you can go through, buying a car, because you go and you find a car you like, and you know, it takes you forever to pick one, and then it becomes the negotiation. And like, if you're gonna buy a car, like, you have to go on like a Saturday and you have to devote the whole day, because you know you're gonna be there and you're gonna go back and forth and you're gonna tell them, no, well, I saw it at a different dealership and you know they had it for this, so I might as well go there. And they're gonna say, no, you gotta be here, and then you gotta do everything. I mean, you said it. This, you know, does it kind of shock you at first when you see $40 million? Of course, absolutely. But the reality, this is the part that's difficult for people to comprehend at first, is Dak Prescott has established himself as a franchise quarterback. He's done that. And, you know, the people that have a hard time grasping that have an even more difficult time understanding that he's going to be paid like a franchise quarterback. Whatever you want to call it, $34, $35 million per year, it's not a number. The number of it is insignificant. It's the going rate. That's what it is. I mean, and so Dak Prescott, I think the person that has said it best throughout this entire, you know, spring and summer, it was Rich Eisen. You know, when he talked about why Dak should get paid, he said, because it's his turn. That's what it is. This is Dak's turn, and this is the number when it's his turn.
Yep, 100%. And that's what, when you keep hearing people freaking out about it, it's like, listen, the going rate, like, Carson Wentz just got paid, what, $35 million a year or whatever it was that he got extended, like 33. And it's just the going rate, dude. Like Mahomes is gonna break that. Goff's probably eventually gonna break that. At the end of the day, that's just what's going on, and you just gotta, you know, accept it and realize that the going rate for quarterbacks is different than the going rate for guys like Zeke and guys like, you know, at other positions.
No, I mean, absolutely. It's, you know, and people say, well, just make him play out, you know, 2019. Like, first of all, like you can do that, you know, like, because if Dak really, I mean, you know, I don't mean to get too like hypothetical, but if I was Dak and they said, okay, you know, we're just going to make you play it out, I would say, okay, well, then I'm not going to play. I'm going to start holding out now. You know, you can't just force him to do something because you think it's the best possible thing. And even if you did, just hypothetically, the possibility certainly exists. And you, if you said this, you'd get tweets like, oh, it's not going to happen, it's trash. The possibility exists that Dak could go out and win the damn Super Bowl this year or whatever. He could have a great year, you know, that isn't winning the Super Bowl. And then guess what? A year from now, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make Pat Mahomes the richest dude the NFL has ever seen. And then you're going to be negotiating in a world after that. And Deshaun Watson's going to be up after that. And maybe Mitch Trubisky if the Bears want to get crazy. And Jared Goff, to your point. I mean, the number is only going to be higher. Right now, the bar is Russell Wilson's $35 million. A year from now, we'll be saying, oh my gosh, the Seahawks only have Russell for 30. You know, a year ago, Matt Ryan got 30 from the Atlanta Falcons, and people freaked out. People said, oh my gosh, how can he get $30 million? And now that's pennies. So, yeah, I mean, exactly. It's about the time, and it's about being up next.
So I don't know if you checked Twitter in the last few minutes, but my buddy just showed me a tweet from Chris Mortensen that basically said, according to Pro Football Talk, according to him, that all the talk of him turning down $30 million and even asking for $40 million is all false. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but at the end of the day, so he did turn down $30 million. Okay. So he turned down $30 million, but the reports of him asking for 40 aren't true. But we know that it's going to be a negotiating game. We know that, you know, the numbers out there are going to be what they are. So It'll be interesting to see how it all plays itself out. But the guy I am more curious to see how it all works out with is Ezekiel Elliott. He's still holding out. We thought, you know, maybe a week ago or so that maybe he would show up to camp, you know, based off that when August 6th came, that his deal was going to basically prorate to another year. But I got to ask, do you think Zeke's going to show up without a deal, or do you think the Cowboys need to get this deal done so he gets into camp?
You know, that one's tough. I think that Zeke has very little leverage. I mean, his leverage is very little because it's defined by how you, whoever is looking at the situation, you know, value the running back position. It has nothing to do, honestly, with his talent. It's, do you believe a running back matters in today's NFL? And that's why so many people are all over the place with it. Zeke doesn't have the leverage that Dak does, in that Dak is in a contract year. You have to get this done with Dak, or else things could get, you know, ridiculous. But with Zeke, I mean, it's a matter of, dude, you have 2 years left on your deal. And to be clear, he has every right to ask for as much money as he wants. I mean, right. That makes sense. But I think it's a losing battle for him. I think maybe he just begrudgingly shows up before week one, and then they try to figure this thing out a year from now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I 100% agree with that. And to your point, like, he has 2 more years left on his deal. Like, and it's not like he's getting paid, you know, what Dak's getting paid right now, which is not even $1 million. I think he's getting paid, what, six? Is it like $5 or $6 million for the next 2 years or something like that? He's getting paid like first round player money for the next few years. It's not like he's getting paid pennies, but I do agree with him that he should be getting paid more, and he will get paid more. I believe if he were to show up, ball out this year, Cowboys are going to pay you next offseason, no questions asked. And I think at some point that will get through to him, and I think they will be able to, you know, come to some sort of agreement on that. But until then, it's going to be a waiting game, and hopefully, you know, they'll get it figured out, because this team, and I don't know how you feel, and I think it's been a while since we've talked, but I feel this team has the talent to win a Super Bowl this year, and Zeke goes a long way to ensuring that that can happen.
Totally. I mean, you know, I've said before a few different places, and I've written about this, I think it's not necessarily looked at who the Cowboys' first three games are against. You know, they play the Giants in week one. They're on the road in Washington in week two. And then they host the Dolphins in week three. I know Robert Quinn's going to miss the first two games of the season. But let's just say Zeke wasn't there. Let's say he continued to hold out. Without Zeke, without Robert Quinn, you should beat the Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins. I mean, you know, they're a team that can certainly handle that. But, you know, while they might be a team that can go 3-0 without Zeke, they're not a team that can win the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, I mean, and the reason this is so fascinating, and maybe mainly my primary emotion here, is I feel kind of bad for Chase and Garrett, because, and people will also feel a different way about that. But I mean, he's in a contract year, and he's dealing with, you know, all of these variables. That has got to be a really difficult thing. You know, for any coach to handle with their star players, let alone somebody whose career is on the line like his is.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Jason's got to be thinking to himself every day, like, look, like, this is my year where I got to go out and lead this team possibly to a deep playoff run again to possibly keep my job. And the guy that's possibly keeping me from that is holding out right now. And that can't feel good for him.
No, it can't. I mean, and you think about the, you know, and it sounds like we're trashing the Cowboys front office, but they have a really great front office. And that's why, right. You know, you go back and forth, because this all kind of feels like everything's on fire. But then you also realize they're a group that has done really well for themselves for most of recent history. But you look at it, and they have a shaky situation from a contractual perspective with their primary running back and primary point of their offense. They have a shaky kicker situation. And, you know, they played 13 games last season that were decided by one possession. And so, you know, you look at that and you wonder, does it really feel this big because it's only August 12th? You know, because we don't have anything else to worry about. You know, right. on Tuesday night when Hard Knocks hits, will we move on to something else? But I mean, you know, this is a team that generally has performed really well and that has made decisions that have paid off. And so while it's definitely scary, it's fair to trust them in moments like these.
No, 100%. You got guys like Will McClay and Stephen Jones that have drafted well. I mean, Jalen Smith is looking like probably one of the biggest steals of the last couple years ago's draft. I mean, the dude's a stud at linebacker, and then Vander actually got killed for him. And I know, because I wasn't high on it at first, but the dude's a baller, and now they got set up post Sean Lee with an amazing linebacking core. They got two amazing corners and possibly three if Jordan Lewis looks like he's balling out now. So they got three for sure amazing corners and Byron Jones, Chidobe, and Jordan Lewis. And, you know, this team's just so deep on the defense, which is where they have not been deep in the last few years. And I think you would agree that that's why we're so looking forward to Zeke getting hopefully on the field so this team can just go and ball out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at cornerback and they're deep there. I mean, they're so deep that Jordan Lewis can't get on the field. And that's a place, you know, where a lot of NFL teams would love to have some depth. You know, I mean, it's hard to find weaknesses on their roster. And they've gambled in certain places like Xavier Woods. If he's not, you know, the playmaker everybody thinks he's going to be, then maybe that gamble wasn't necessarily worth it. But, I mean, they're a team in a front office that has generally hit on the things they've tried. Their lone real miss of consequence in the last, like, seven years has been, has been Taco Charlton. And so, you know, if you're telling me that, you know, you're going, you know, 12 for 13, then, okay, cool. Those are odds I can live with. But but for whatever reason, there are people that believe them or believe they should go 13 for 13. And that's just, you know, that's where impracticality sets in.
No, 100%. Like what? I mean, even the best front offices, even the Patriots don't go 13 for 13, man. Like people put this team to such a high pedestal sometimes that it makes us fans that like really care about the team and that want this team to do well. It makes us look dumb when we have other fans like that that are irrational and just think that everything should be handed to them. Everything should be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, and I'm a Spurs fan, and so I've been on the right end of that spectrum a lot.
Yes, you have.
I mean, but you get people like that, like that are just, oh, well, the Patriots do it, so it's super easy. Dude, it's not easy. It's ridiculously hard. I mean, I'm also a Manchester United fan, and like everything's blown up there. And so, I mean, it's sports. It's hard. The best people in the world at this job are trying to do it too. And so, you know, it takes time and it takes effort.
Yes, sir. So you were at training camp, I think, what, 2 weeks ago? Last week? Not sure.
Correct. I was there 2 weeks ago.
So I got to ask, and I wanted to ask you when you came on, what were your thoughts? Like who stood out to you? You know, obviously we saw the first preseason game. We'll get into that in a minute. But like based off camp and how things looked in camp, like who stood out to you?
Well, Xavier Woods. I mean, you know, to kind of beat that drum, Xavier looks really good. I mean, Xavier looks like he is going to be a legit free safety. I thought Blake Jarwin looked really well, and I thought we saw that in the preseason game against San Francisco. I think overall it's kind of hard to evaluate offensive and defensive lines just because, you know, it's not real football or anything. But my primary takeaway, it's my third year going to camp, is I've never been there with such a sense of peace and focus. I mean, there's always, you know, something going on. And last year there was like the fallout of Dez and him calling Sean Lee a snake and stuff. But there's always something like that versus now. I mean, you know, it sounds lame and I feel lame saying it, but, you know, Jason Garrett's mantra this year is driven. That's what all the shirts and, you know, tumblers and everything say. And they really feel like a focused and driven group. That was my main takeaway.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, it seems like ever since that Rams game last year where they essentially got I mean, I know I was there. I watched it happen before my eyes. After that leading Amari Cooper touchdown, that game fell apart fast. But, you know, this looks like they have a different mindset going into this year, like that they basically want to be the best and they want to go out there and prove everybody wrong and prove the haters wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're a team that's come really close. I mean, you know, and there's obviously some younger guys on this roster, but a lot of guys, you know, they've been part of the group that's been to the divisional round of the playoffs three of the last 5 years, you know, that saw their season end at the hands of Aaron Rodgers, that, you know, were obviously a lot of them in Los Angeles where you were last year against the Rams. I mean, you know, they're a good football team. And I think, you know, I imagine if I played for the Dallas Cowboys, I would think like, dude, we're the Dallas Cowboys. Like there has to be more, you know? And, you know, we interviewed Jeff Heath on my Saturday morning radio show. And he talked, you know, I asked him about kind of the GOAT stuff and how aware he is of it. And he kind of laughed and had fun with it, but he was talking about, you know, I mean, we hear the fans. He was like, we know that people want us to be good. He was like, we want to be good too. And, you know, we want to be good for the fans. And we really, you know, we want to live up to those expectations. We're trying really hard. And I mean, I buy into that. Maybe I'm the sucker here, but I completely buy into the fact that they really, really think that they're a football team that can do some serious damage.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to week one. I really hope that this team is able to get everybody on the field for week one so that we can see what they're made of and see, you know, see how things go. And that's until Zeke is on the field, I'm a little nervous. But once they got everybody on the field and good to go and week one rolls around, I'm as excited as any Cowboys fan could possibly be for this season.
There's reason to be excited. I mean, you know, and I mean, obviously they have a tough schedule, but they're, you know, I've always believed this. I mean, certainly for, you know, my life and certainly for my life as a, you know, young adult and an adult. I mean, they've been competitive, you know, since 2006, they've only had two seasons where they were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs at any point, you know, so either they're playing a game of consequence in week 17 or they're making the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, believe me, do I want them to win the Super Bowl? Absolutely. But I also want to have a good time. And that's not my goal. I'm not settling for less. I can guarantee you that there will never be a point, at least in this iteration of the Cowboys, where, you know, you're doing your Christmas shopping and they're out of it. You know what I mean? Like they're you're never going to go to your family's house for Thanksgiving and have them just be this joke of a team. They're always going to be in it. It's always going to be entertaining. You're always going to be staying up way too late in early December reading something or watching something because you're interested. And that's why we watch. That's why we care, because it's fun. It's sports. It's part of the whole fandom of it all. And that part of it, I'm really excited about.
100% agreed. So let's talk a little bit about the preseason game. I was only able to watch like the first half of it. I was out with some friends drinking that night. But I did see some spurts. I saw Jarwin's catch. I saw the Donovan Wilson's interception. It looks like this team, as far as, you know, depth goes, they're deep. I mean, they were in that game against the second stringers for most of it up until the last possession. And it just looks like this team has a lot of talent, and it's basically going to come down to the last few spots as to who's going to make the team and who's not. And who do you think, based off that, that's probably on the bubble, like the John Vea Johnsons, the Cedric Wilsons, the Michael Jacksons, of those guys, who do you think is standing out the most right now after one game?
Well, you know, Cedric Wilson obviously had a great game and, you know, had a concussion. Jason Garrett announced on Monday. So, you know, you've got to manage that. And, you know, how quickly can he get back? I mean, that's obviously going to affect whether he makes the roster this season or not. You know, Jalen Guyton was somebody who really impressed me when I was out in training camp. But, you know, that was 2 weeks ago. That's a lifetime ago in training camp terms. I think, you know, I went to Texas A&M. So, I mean, I'm going to stand up for my guy, Donovan Wilson. And I think a lot of it is George Iloka has probably been, the most disappointing acquisition. And disappointing in that he's really not making any progress. I mean, you know, a lot of people thought that night. I remember I was working a San Antonio Commanders game before the Alliance crashed. When that happened, and everybody thought, oh, George Iloka is coming in, this is it, this is what's going to happen, etc. And like everybody's forgotten that he's even on the team to some degree. And Donovan Wilson seems to be that guy. You know, the Cowboys don't, you know, they haven't really put a lot of resources in the safety position over the last few years, but it seems like sixth round picks are what keeps making things work. You know, that's what Xavier Woods is, that's what Kayvon Frazier is, that's obviously what Donovan Wilson is. So I'm really excited about Donovan and what he can do.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And those are the guys you just listed are all probably the three of the best safeties on the roster right now. And it's like I said, we just talked about it with the draft. Like if you're 12 for 13 and you're going to hit on three, essentially three of the last maybe five or six round picks like that. I mean, it's just impressive. And this front office is just very, very underrated. And I don't think people give them the props that they deserve all the time.
Well, and that's, you know, I know we're talking about the preseason game, but that's the overall just kind of craziness of this. You know, there are sectors of Cowboys fans that think Jason Garrett sucks. There are sectors that think Jerry Jones and the front office suck. There are sectors that think that Dak Prescott sucks. There are sectors that think, you know, they don't do a great job of bringing in talent. And so then how have they won so many games? You know, like what is it? Like this, it can't all be true that all of these things suck and that they've won all of these games. Like something has to be working. If Garrett sucks, then Dak has got to be amazing because he's lifting up a coach that you think sucks. If Dak sucks, then Garrett has got to be, you know, there has to be some driving force that is keeping them so competitive because they keep getting close. I mean, and I'm a big believer that, you know, teams like that, you know, you typically see them, you know, walk away with a title. Like, you know, I know that they added Kawhi Leonard and I'm really salty about that. But like the Raptors are an example of that. You know, they're a team that was knocking and knocking and knocking and getting really close and really close. And yeah, they caught some breaks. But I mean, those are teams that, you know, you like, and this is a really, really weird way to put it. But I remember in 2014 when the Spurs beat the Warriors, you know, you thought at that time, okay, that Warriors team, they're going to get one. Like at some point, that team's going to get one. Now, obviously, they did a lot more than that, but you get the point. And the Cowboys are a team that's kind of like that. They're knocking and they're getting so close that you just have to figure eventually it's going to click.
No, 100%. And we obviously hope that this year is the year, and it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll get you out of here on this one. What is your overall prediction? I mean, I think I asked you this last time you were on here, and that was a few months ago. But what's your overall prediction of when this, let's just hypothetically say every person is healthy week one, other than obviously Robert Quinn, is on the field week one. And for the 16 games overall, what can this team possibly, like, what's their peak?
I think peak is like 12 wins, you know. And I think, you know, people get wrapped up when they look at schedules and they do predictions, you know. People say, like, you look at the AFC East, and yeah, they're probably going to lose to the Patriots. I think everybody agrees with that. And then people say, oh, well, they're going to beat the Dolphins and the Jets and the Bills. Well, the truth is, they'll probably lose one of those three games. You know, in an NFL season, you generally lose a game you're supposed to win. You know, I think you look at last season, that certainly happened with them. They probably should have beat the Titans, and they lost that game. They probably should have beat the Redskins the first time, and they didn't. And then you win games you're probably supposed to lose. You know, you look at the way they beat the Saints. They, you know, make a case they should have lost that game. The way they beat the Eagles the second time, you make a case they should have lost that game. And so I think they'll lose, you know, two-ish weird games. You know, maybe it's to the Bills on Thanksgiving after a short week. Maybe it's to the Lions on the road in Detroit. But I think they'll win some games that, you know, right now you're thinking are going to look a little tough. Maybe they go to Chicago on Thursday Night Football and beat the Bears. Maybe they come home and beat the Rams. I mean, and so that's why I think their peak is 12 wins. I think their floor is something like 8. But if you told me the over-under was 9.5, I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight because it's really that close. I do think that this is a team that's the analogy I always use. You'll be doing your Christmas shopping, and while you're waiting in line to pay for one item, you're going to pull up your phone and look at Twitter to check on something because the Cowboys are in it. I mean, that's where they'll be. I think that they maybe win 10 games. I think that's good enough for the NFC East, and then they hope to make a run in January.
I would agree with that 100%. I would think, yeah, anywhere from 10 to 12 wins is probably where this team should end up. RJ, thank you very much for coming on with us, sir. I appreciate it. Want to tell everybody where they can find you at and find your work?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at RJ Ochoa. You can check out everything I do at bloggingtheboys.com. You can also follow Blogging the Boys on Twitter at that name. And you can catch me hanging out here with my buds.
Yes, sir. Thank you, RJ. We appreciate it, man.
For sure.